Back for Main Street Book Club is Charles Montgomery, professor in the English Interpretation and Translation Department at Dongguk University and the founder of the Korean Literature and Translation website, ktlit.com. Morning, Charles.
Good morning.
Welcome back.
Happy to be here.
So I understand Park Won-seo is one of your favorite authors.
Yeah, she was one of the authors that I really got into early in my sort of journey through Korean literature, translated literature, and also one of the first female authors that I really got into as I was exploring all this stuff. So She was one of my favorites from Go.
Yeah, hugely popular among the Korean readers. But for our expat listeners, tell us a little bit about her.
Well, she had the advantage or disadvantage, depending on how you look at it, of living through quite interesting times. She was born in 1931, so that places her in the middle sort of second half of colonialism, and grew up during the Korean War. She entered Seoul National University, but was forced to drop out immediately because the Korean War broke out, and her brother was killed. So it basically, it was down to, at one point, her and her mother. And a lot of her fiction is mother-daughter fiction because of that. And during the war, she was actually separated from her mother, and her mother was moved to North Korea for some time. And Park, after the war, Park started writing, and she lived in Achui in Guri, just outside of Seoul. She lived in a lovely little house with a garden. She was sort of a gardening author. And she was late bloomer as an author. She didn't publish her first work until she was 40.
Mm-hmm.
But once she got started, she just went gangbusters. And as of 2007, she had written 15 novels and 10 short story collections. And as you said, she's very popular in Korea because her work really speaks to the Korean experience.
Yeah. She's quite well known overseas as well, I understand.
Well, she's one of the best known authors overseas for sure. Definitely in the top 5, probably in the top 10. Her translated novels include Who Ate Up All the Shinga, which was monstrously popular in Korea and was extremely well-reviewed in English. And we'll talk about this later. But she also has a lot of short stories in various collections. And she is well-known enough that she died 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And last October for her birthday, Google Korea actually, you know, they do those little Google doodles?
Yeah.
They actually did a Who Ate Up All the Shinga Google Doodle, which was a little picture of a little girl holding the shinga. The shinga was a mountain herb that her family would eat. And so when the shinga was kind of symbolic of losing, you know, the countryside and losing Korea during the war. So it's a super cute little graphic. And if anyone wants to see it, when it went up, I took a screenshot of it. Mm-hmm. So right now, that's the top post on www.ktlit.com.
If you scroll
down a little, you can see this cute little picture.
Mm-hmm.
So she definitely did make some impact overseas. This impact came really late in her career. By the time she was making an impact, she really wasn't churning out work anymore. But she basically, you said in the intro that she was Korea's most famous female author. She may not be now, Shin Kyung-suk. She wrote that kind of story to some extent. The mother-daughter stories that she wrote were sort of along the Shin Kyung-suk line to some extent, in that they were Oprah stories, you know, stories of struggle, or Amy Tan stories, or this kind of story. So this was a story that would appeal to a female audience, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Well, in terms of the volume of work put out, she still probably is the best-known female author, Park Won-seo.
Yeah, absolutely. One of those authors who, if you do get interested in her, you can go to Amazon and you can immediately track down 5 or 6 books in which she is represented and have a long period of time engaging her writing. So, yeah, I think that's fair to say.
Mm. What did she write about?
Well, as I hinted at, she basically really had two different careers. Her first career was focused on the traumas of the war and its aftermath. And again, these are stories that are often horrific in Korean fiction, but she managed to put it in the context of family stories.
Mm-hmm.
So you could understand her, you could read her books as history if you wanted to, just as literature in terms of, you know, the mother-daughter stories. And also she has a really nice translatable writing style that we'll talk about a bit more that makes it really easy for a reader who doesn't know much about Korean culture to get into the head of these characters and understand what they're doing. She wrote some stories about Buddhism, for instance, that are really good casual introductions to some of the rites relating to Buddhism. And so this this allows you, to, as I said, to read her work any way you want. You can read it for fun. You can read it for history. You can read it for cultural understanding. It's just really, really well written and translated.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, and again, her most famous work in English was probably Who Ate Up All the Shinga, because it has all of these elements. And I should say that then the second kind of writing she did, once the Korean War was over and Pundan Munhak, sort of the separation had settled down, Park began to focus much, much more on male-female relationships,
mm-hmm.
and what was happening to the male and female relationship in the context of the middle class and the development of Korea. And in that way, she was kind of a feminist. Perhaps one of her most famous stories in Korea, and I believe this has been translated, is called The Dreaming Incubator, in which a woman is forced to undergo a series of abortions until she can have a male child. Very dreamy, nightmare-y type of story. And so those were essentially the two things she did. But again, both things that Western readers could get into quite easily.
Mm-hmm. Give us some more information about that book you mentioned, Who Ate Up All the Shinga?
Well, it was published in 92 in Korea and published a couple of years ago, I believe 4 years ago, in English. And it is the story of a mother and daughter. It's essentially an autobiographical novel, whatever that means, autobiographical novel. And it's the story of the mother and daughter just trying to survive through up and down Korea as the front moves and pushes them around. And then at the same time, it's also the story of Park Won-seo herself going through this discovery process, at the end of which she decides, I will be a writer. Mm-hmm. I must document all this.
So coming-of-age story?
Yes, a coming-of-age story. So again, you can see how this kind of is has a kind of genre that would resound in some writers. And it starts very sort of idyllically. It starts in the village, you know, with the mother, some excellent passages about how small that world is. There's basically the village, and there's the next village, and then there's nothing. And then when she goes to Seoul, this remarkable sort of blooming in her mind that the world is actually much, much bigger than she ever thought it was. And so this blooming in the mind, and also the fact that people are being killed, people are disappearing, all these horrible things happen, result in a coda at the end of the book in which she basically stands up and says, I will document this. I am a writer. This is what I'm going to do.
Mm.
And I should say last chapter actually is called Epiphany, so you know what it is. And this is, she says, quote, came a vision that I would write someday, and this premonition dispelled my fear. The cluttered vacant houses were now my prey. I already planned to steal from those houses. So she's making a quite strong declaration of writership.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. You have another passage for us.
Do I? Where'd it go?
Down there.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Some of the humor.
Yeah,
this is the other thing. Because the mother-daughter relationships that she explains are really, really well done and really affectionate. And she talks about she describes her mother's and her return to the countryside when they're coming back from the city, and they were supposed to go off and become a tremendous success. And she says, quote, it was important to mother not to look like we were returning because we couldn't make a go of it in Seoul. Her attitude was perfectly understandable given the difficulties she'd gone through to establish herself. She must have wanted an appropriate excuse if we couldn't manage a glorious silk-clad homecoming. And so this is the other thing, all of Park's characters have extremely understandable motivations across culture. There are other stories like that, too. In a book about trauma in Korea called Red Room, Park includes a story called In the Realm of the Buddha, similar to this kind of story, a mother and daughter who are doing Buddhist rituals in memory of their dead father and brother. And the same kind of relationship. You just get this really warm feeling. You understand where the characters are coming from. The characters in that story are poor, and Park Won-seo has very funny, warm, and real ways of showing this.
Mm-hmm.
So she just writes a really, really excellent story. And as I said earlier, I should mention the translation, because it is Park's writing style is so vernacular. I mean, we talked about the Ko-un, and I think maybe you could draw some similarities in vernacularity there. But the translation of Shinga is done by Yoo Young-nan and Stephen Epstein, who have both worked on multiple translations. And this was another one of those books where, as I read through it, if I ever stopped and wondered at a phrase or wondered at a word, it was no more than I would in any book written in English. It was just an outcome of the kind of reader I am, picky and
So that's from her early works. So what about some books you could recommend from her later works?
Well, again, these you're going to find in collections primarily. And there are, if you go to the website KT Lit, you'll see the links to a couple of collections. There are one or two collections of just her works. And then she's also represented in collections of women's fiction and in collections of the trauma fiction, which I mentioned. And, you know, in general, if listeners who have listened to this show regularly know that I often talk about the difficulty of Pundan Moonhak, but Park Won-se, again, makes it understandable because you don't need to focus on the tragedy. You don't need to know the horrible history. You can focus on the family thing. And again, it's just full of nice little touches that the mother and the daughter go to a temple and they really can't afford to really spend a lot of money on their offerings. And so the mother says, quote, "I begged them to keep it simple. After all, it's the heart that counts." And the daughter responds, "My only response was a fate smile." So you get a sense there of the affectionate relationship between the family. You get a sense there of where the family is as you go through this. You get some sense of Buddhism, even though the narrator describes her knowledge of Buddhism as, quote, as enough to earn her, quote, a score of 50 out of 100 on a test. So she's not exactly, you know, deeply, deeply into Buddhism. But it does give you a little taste of what it's like.
That's from in the realm of the Buddha.
Yeah, and some other books that I'd mention. One book is 3 Days in That Autumn, which is from the Jimundang KLTI series that I frequently talk about. And this is the story of a gynecologist, an abortionist actually, who late in her life just essentially decides that for her last act as a gynecologist, she wants to bring life into the world rather than take life out. And so, again, it's got that kind of coda, that epiphanic coda that gives you a little bit of hope. It explores the trauma, but it gives you hope at the outset. And then the last one I'll mention, because we're running out of time, that's definitely worth picking up, is Weathered Blossom. Weathered Blossom is a beautiful little book. I think it's Hallam imprint. And it's the story of an old woman and an old man falling in love and Park Won-se's meditation on what love means at an advanced age. And it's beautiful. In the end, they don't get together. The relationship breaks up. But still, you're left with this feeling that Park Won-se was capable of engendering of a sort of happiness and optimism despite all the travails. And maybe that's the final thing I would say about Park Won-se. She can cover the most difficult topics. She can cover the most difficult history. But she can take you into that in a way that you can process it.
And the language is easy enough.
Language is easy enough. The stories, again, I can't overstate how affectionate the characters are to each other. So oftentimes Pundan Moonhak is just rage against rage or sort of atrocity against atrocity. And Park Won-se, she really brought the heart to Korean literature.
Great. Well, thank you very much for introducing her to us today. We'll see you again next week.
Will do.
Charles Montgomery from Dongguk University and KTLIT.com with Main Street Book Club talking about Park Won-se and her works today. And we're going to wrap up this segment with a song from a 2011 TV drama based on a Park Won-se book, 그 여자네 집. And this is Cho Kwan-woo singing 진정 난 몰랐네. Time.